Hi, I'm Thesia Ellis, and welcome to This Grandma's Life's podcast. I'm your host, Thesia Ellis. Sorry. Get ready to laugh, learn, and grow with me as we explore growing old in an ever-changing world. And I need to pay attention to my notes and learn my introduction. So, oh well. Today is March 27, 2023, and this is episode 24, and it's called Piglet Watch is Over. Okay, I guess the first thing I'm going to talk about is some farm happenings. My egg production is finally really, we went for 5 months with no eggs at all. Well, okay, not no eggs at all, only we were getting an occasional duck egg, no chicken eggs, and one or two turkey eggs a day for literally 5 months. And the turkeys were laying because they were bred. This was their first year. Of getting old enough, I'm pretty sure that's what that deal is. And yes, I've got glare on my glasses, and I don't know if I can do anything about it or not. We'll see what we can do. But, nope, can't do it today. All right, so I've been getting turkey eggs, and they're okay. You know, they're not bad. If you scramble them up, they're not bad. The taste is not bad. It's just a texture thing. So, but now I've got a mess. I'm getting about 2 dozen eggs a day, which is a lot for us. So, doing that. Oscar Mayer, I've mentioned off and on over time that he's got acting crippled up and stuff, and I thought it was from the cold and all this other thing. And I will tell you more about this in a few minutes, but when I had to call the vet, I called the vet to come out for two different reasons. One for Daisy, as she was in labor with her piglets. And I said, while you're here, I need you to look at Oscar and see if you can figure out what's going on. And he looked at Oscar pretty closely. Honestly, he thinks he needs to be chiropractically adjusted. And I wouldn't doubt if like probably Waddles slammed him and knocked something out of place in him or something. I don't know. That's what but he's not, both of his hind legs are not doing well or not wanting to work. And when the vet was here, it was really bad that day. So it's not like he could say, well, you know, but yeah, it was obvious that Oscar Mayer was struggling. But what we're doing with Oscar right now is we're giving him some anti-inflammatories in marshmallows. So I have to have like two packages. So I've got one pre-loaded bag of marshmallows that has the anti-inflammatories, and they're little bitty pills, so I can get all four of them into one marshmallow. But then he's wanting me to do Prilosec to counteract the strength, you know, to keep from tearing up the pig's stomach. So, but those are bigger, and so I'm sticking those pills, one each, in a marshmallow. But Oscar is in the pen with Waddles, and Waddles wants to eat too. So I've got unloaded marshmallows for Waddles, and I've got loaded marshmallows for Oscar. And so far, I don't know if it's doing any good or not. In fact, he was bad enough that the vet gave him an injection the other day to help get him started. So we're going to watch him. And I've got several days worth anti-inflammatory to give him, and if he doesn't look good, I'm supposed to call back and see if he can call his chiropractic friend. I don't know. That's kind of a trip. I'm not sure my husband's going to go for one, but getting a chiropractor for a pig, we'll have to see. And then, obviously, with Daisy doing the piglet watch, she went into labor, and that's been a mess. And I'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Okay, so my three things. Now, first of all, I want to tell you, I've been trying to get this podcast done since Friday. It is Monday now. I've been trying to get this podcast done since Friday night. I'll tell you that I went to the Self-Reliance Festival in Camden, Tennessee, and I thought I'm going to get there in time, and I can knock out a podcast and get it, you know, I can get some work done while I'm in the motel. Well, that didn't work out for a variety of reasons. So my next podcast, I'm going to talk about Self-Reliance Festival and all the neat stuff that happened there. But basically, though, Friday night, a huge thunderstorm rolled through and knocked out the power. And then ever since that thunderstorm, the power just kept going on and off and on and off. And it just completely took the internet out. So I couldn't get any work done there. So, you know, and then by the time I drove all the way home yesterday, I was just tired. So like I said, I've been trying to get it done and not being able to, because it would have been cool if I could do the podcast for Daisy this, you know, on Friday, and then come back and tell you about Self-Reliance Festival in a timely manner after it was over. But my next one, well, I will do, I'll have all my notes together for the Self-Reliance Festival. And of course, it was awesome. And okay, so that, my three things today, is the morning burn class at the gym. Ooh, she's changed up the curriculum or whatever you call it. She's changed up our workout. And it's cool. All of our workouts for all the classes are just, they're evil. But it's kind of interesting because if you do one workout over and over enough, you think you're feeling pretty good and you think you can do it. And I mean, you think, okay, I'm pretty fit. And then when she changes what you're doing, you go, oh my gosh, those are muscles I haven't worked in a while. And so that's what she's done. And what we're doing is really fun. It's really cool, but man, it's kicking my butt. So, but we did the morning burn class at the gym. Now my number of two of my three things is lots of Monday and post-festival housework. Okay. So Monday is the day that I strip and make my bed and switch out a whole bunch of stuff. But also I had stuff from whenever I was, you know, luggage, putting it all, just getting everything washed up and put away and get the housework work together for Monday. And then number three was record this podcast because it's been on my three things for 3 days now. So, what I'm reading, I'm still on The Atomic Habits by James Clear. This time we're going to be doing chapter 19, How to Stay Motivated in Life and in Work. Let me find my notes here. Mastery requires practice. Oh, and this is page 234. But the more you practice something, the more boring and routine it becomes. Once the beginner gains have been made and we learn what to expect, our interest starts to fade. The greatest threat to success is not failure, but boredom. As our habits become ordinary, we start derailing our progress to seek novelty. As soon as we experience the slightest dip in motivation, we begin to seek new strategy, even if the old one is still working. On 235 is the sweet spot of desire occurs at a 50-50 split between success and failure. Half the time, you get what you want. Half the time, you don't. No habit will stay interesting forever. At some point, everyone faces the same challenge on the journey to self-improvement. You have to fall in love with boredom. Basically, you got to do it over and over and over again. On 236, I can guarantee that if you manage to start a habit and keep sticking to it, there will be days when you feel like quitting. But stepping up when it's annoying or painful or draining to do so, that's what makes the difference between a professional and an amateur. The professional sticks to the schedule. The amateur lets life get in the way. Professionals know what is important to them and work toward it with purpose. Amateurs get pulled off course by the urgencies of life. So that was pretty short and sweet this time. And that is Atomic Habits, on chapter 19 there. I, over the last couple of years, I've heard several people talk about, and I'm trying to train myself not to say, so much. You think with notes that would make a difference. how'd that go? So I've heard people over the years talk about Atlas Shrugged, you know, and who's John Galt and all that stuff. And I've been, I've been listening to this one on the audio books, and it's like 64 hours long. I'm thinking, man, do I really want to do this? And I'm up to chapter 10 and I've still got 47 hours left. It's been a pretty decent book. I'm talking about it because there are some things about it that I'm trying to get lessons from. But first, I kind of want to tell you about, you know, because her name is Ayn Rand, A-Y-N. And I even looked up to say how you spell Ayn Rand. And then I looked her up. And then it says, oh, well, her real name was Alice O'Connor. I'm thinking, what? Okay, so her pen name was Ayn Rand, but her regular name was Alice O'Connor. But she was born in Russia as Alisa Zinovievna. I had it before I started this and forgot. Elisa Zinovievna Rosenbaum. And she was born in 1905 to 1982. So she was born in Russia with this Elisa name. And then when she came to America, she changed it to Alice O'Connor. But then when she started writing books, she started being called Ayn Rand. Okay, so that's, she's got more names than I do. But it's been an interesting thing. I do see some correlation in the book about, and that from when that book was written and when what she's done. I'm going to excuse me. Sorry about that. That snuck up on me. Seeing what some correlation between what she had written out in the book and what's kind of happening into our society now about, you know, people not caring and just kind of half-assing their work and the politics involved. Okay, if you think about it, when they ran that equalization law, and you're going, oh, really? They're calling it equalization law? Okay. So there's stuff on that. So I'm getting some correlation in it, and I'm learning things on it. I'm trying to absorb the lessons as I'm reading the narrative too, though. So I've got, obviously, I've got 47 more hours to go. But it's been interesting so far, and I'm learning as I go. All right. My quote of the day is, "There is no danger of developing eye strain from looking at the bright side of things," by Joyce Meyer. And I needed this quote this week because I've needed to look on the bright. It was a rough week last week, but I'm going to say it again. "There's no danger of developing eye strain from looking at the bright side of things," Joyce Meyer. All right, my main subject, and this is what we're talking about here. The saga of poor Daisy's delivery, and it really was, well, it was difficult for me. It was terrible, tremendously terrible for Daisy. Tuesday night, I was doing chores, and yeah, we're talking about last Tuesday. I was doing chores, and went over to do the pigs, and I noticed that Daisy was in the hut, and I looked, and she was in labor. She had already delivered one piglet, and it was stillborn, and you can tell by looking at it that it had suffocated. And so I sat there for a while, probably over an hour with her, trying to figure out what I should need to do to help her. And I could tell she was trying to strain to push out another one, but she was not progressing. So I'm thinking, I don't have any idea what I'm doing. So I Googled the, you know, what, how long is labor for a pig? And it says like 4 hours, and between, and the horns, you know, like there's usually two in a horn. So one will be born, and then 15 minutes, another one will be born from that same horn. And then you, whenever there's the next two will be born and it's in that, those increments, you know, however that goes. So she'd already had the one, and she was really trying to push the other one, and I don't know how long she'd been pushing. Like I said, the first piglet was born dead. I don't know how long it'd been laying there, because I didn't think to touch it at the time to see if it was warm. But I just know that I sat there for an hour before I figured out that I need to figure something else out. And I tried to call one of my friends, but she was still at work at the time. She did show up later, and I was grateful for that, really grateful. And I'll tell you about her in a few minutes too. But so I ended up calling my, basically a mentor. I try not to bother her, but she's up by, near Kansas City. She's the one I bought my breeding trio from in the first place a year ago in January. Claire Lozano from Luna Acres Farm. And so I sent her a text saying, "Here, this is what's happening. What do you suggest I do? And is there anything I need to know?" And she was kind enough to call me back and say, "Okay, this is what you need to do. You need to find some gloves, find some lubrication, and help deliver piglets." I'm going, oh my gosh, okay, that's what I'll do. And that was kind of interesting because I think, I don't know what I've got for lubricant. And I did use my dish gloves because that's, you know, they don't go to my elbow, but they get pretty high. So I went up to the dollar store. That's our local grocery store, whatever, you know, it's Dollar General. And I went up there and I'm looking around. I can't find what I want. I finally went up to the lady up front. I said, that sounds really strange, but can you help me find some lubricant so I can help deliver piglets? And she looks at me and laughed. Well, what we ended up doing is I bought a big tub of Vaseline, and it worked pretty good. Worked real good. I mean, it was very, very slippery. And I went back, and Daisy had not delivered the second piglet even then. So I'm trying to reach up, and Tom had gotten home from work by that time, and he helped me move the pig hut off of directly over her so we could actually reach Daisy and get to her more easily, because I was trying to do all this stuff while Daisy was in the hut. And I tried to reach up and try to pull this piglet out, and every time I opened my hand, the piglet would just slip back further back up into the birth canal. And I stopped. And, you know, I'm not a small person. Not only am I not small, but I'm muscular. And so I was hurting her. It was just hard. You know, you could tell I was hurting her. And so I quit. And then when my friend Hannah got off work, she came over, and I was very grateful for that. She's in training to be a veterinarian. She's in the early stages of it. So she told me up front she's never done anything with piglets or pigs in labor at all. But we kind of assess together and decide what to need to do. And she ended up calling her actual veterinary friend, which I didn't want to do it. I mean, I needed the help, don't get me wrong, but it was like 6-7 o'clock at night. I hate bothering people, you know, after regular hours, but we needed help. And he told me not to do any more trying to reach him for the pig because she was swollen. Like I said, I'm not small, and to reach up in there too often, she would swell up too much. And then she really wouldn't be able to push these babies out. And, so we decided to leave Daisy to do her thing overnight because there's nothing I could do for her anyway. And the next morning I got up and there was like 4 dead piglets laying there all around her. And before I went to bed that night, she did deliver the second piglet, but it was dead too, obviously. So I already had 2 dead piglets. Get up the next morning and there's 4 more dead piglets. So I called that vet back. And I said, look, I'm going to need you to come out and help me figure out what to do with Daisy. And, cause it'd already been, 18 hours or more. I don't know how long it'd been. I don't know how long Daisy had been in labor before she delivered the first stillborn. So I was heartbroken with that. The veterinarian and his technician showed up a couple hours later. And when we went out to the pen to check on Daisy, she was in, there's a live piglet running around. And I was thrilled. It was just, I mean, that so had to have been, I don't know how old it was. It was enough where it was dried off and running around. So she may have pushed it not too long after I had checked Daisy that morning. And so I was thrilled to have a live piglet, but then we looked and there was already another dead piglet that had been delivered after that. I can't remember how many dead piglets there have been. It was at that point. The vet tech reached up and checked her and actually didn't feel anymore. So we had already decided that with the 2 last night and the 4 this morning or that morning on Wednesday morning, I'm going to find my notes. that was 6 plus the one that was living, that makes 7 piglets. And since this was her first one, then maybe it was going to be, maybe she was done and stuff. So they gave her an injection to push out what was still in her. You know, if there were still piglets in there, push them out. If there were, afterbirth, whatever, you know, they gave her that injection to do that. So, let me see. Oh, actually that morning, on Wednesday morning, there were 3 dead piglets laying there and a foot sticking out of Daisy. And I had to pull it, and obviously it was dead too. So, yeah, that was not fun. And then the baby piglet was really cute, but Daisy's not doing good at this point. On Thursday, she wasn't eating. She wasn't drinking. She wasn't getting up. Daisy wasn't. She wasn't getting up at all. And so I called the vet back. I said, what's up? And the piglet's hungry. for some reason, there was no milk for the piglet. You think there's only one piglet. You think that Daisy would have had plenty of milk. But for some reason, the piglet was really hungry. So I ended up running to town to buy some formula for the baby piglet. And the vet told me, make sure to get Daisy up and make her move around. So in case there's something else going on there. Well, it took a lot of work. She did not want to get up. But and it was really distressing because when the piglet was first born and Daisy was moving around, and I picked up the piglet one time and the piglet squealed and stuff, and then Daisy comes running over acting like a good mom and trying to take care of the piglet. But when I was feeding the piglet and it was squealing and going, Daisy didn't move. So I was like, oh no, this is bad. So I'm sorry. This so that was Thursday. All day Thursday, just a piglet, trying to feed the piglet, and Daisy's just laying there. Friday morning, I get up and there's two more piglets stillbirth. And but Daisy was looking better. So basically she had 9 piglets all together and 8 of them were stillborn. But Daisy was up and moving around slowly, but and not real happy about doing it. But she was moving around. And part of the stress was it, too, was I was trying to decide whether to go to the Self-Reliance Festival. I didn't want to leave if I was going to have to feed the baby or have Tom feed the baby twice a day. And or if Daisy, I honestly thought on Thursday that Daisy was going to die. She was not moving. She was unresponsive. And I was able to get her up after a lot of work, but it was just really hard to get her up and around. So Friday morning, it was distressing to find 2 more dead piglets, but Daisy was looking better and acting like it was over. And I'm thinking, all right, cool. I think I can drive to Titan, Tennessee and go to the Self-Reliance Festival. And so I packed up and went and was doing pretty good with that. Checked in with Tom that night to make sure that he'd given Oscar his medication and check on how Daisy and the piglets were doing and the piglet was doing and making sure the piglet was getting, did she need formula or was mama feeding her or how was it going? Because that was another thing I checked that morning too, was the piglet was not searching for milk and it was sleeping in the straw. And jumped up when I went to go check on him. So I thought, okay, baby's happy, sleeping in the straw, full tummy, I'm assuming. And so I thought it was safe for me to go to Self-Reliance Festival. So then when I called Tom that night to check in on everybody, he tells me that the live piglet died. And I'm not going to lie, guys, that really hurt. And I don't know. We had some rain coming in, kind of cold, misty rain, but I made sure that the hut was over him and stuff. They had plenty of straw, but I'm wondering, and you know, Tom was thinking too, maybe because there was only one piglet that she couldn't keep warm, you know. So yeah, so Daisy had 9 piglets and all 9 of them died. But you know, it was just really hard because the one was alive and running around, was as cute as she could be. Oh my gosh, it was cute. And we were on the verge of naming her and hadn't named her yet. I was actually going to name her something like Victory or something like that, because out of all these piglets that died, she's the one that lived, and then she ends up dying. So it was rough. But Hannah was really good. I checked in with her occasionally. I really appreciated Hannah coming and sitting with me and talking with me. And even though she felt like she wasn't qualified to help with anything with the piglet, she was trained enough to be there for me and be a comfort for me. And so, yeah, that was rough. And that might have been part of the reason I couldn't get this podcast out Friday night either, because, you know, I don't know. Obviously, I'm still struggling with it. But that was the Daisy story. Daisy's doing better. She's, now that labor's over and everything, she's still moving slowly. Today when I was feeding her in the afternoon, she was laying in the hut and I thought I would reach in there or, you know, crawl in there with her, make sure she was doing all right. She got up and she's, it appeared to me that she's looking for, she's like searching through the straw looking for her piglet. And that was a little bit difficult this afternoon too. But you know, that poor pig, she was in labor for like 4 days and it's supposed to be 4 hours. So I just can't imagine what she's been through. I mean, you can imagine some things. Anybody who's had babies, you know how it can be physically very demanding and very difficult, but I can imagine what she's went through for 4 days worth of it. So that's my saga of Daisy's delivery. The veterinarian and his assistant were really nice in coming there. But I guess, Mike, I have a question of the day today, because I really would like to hear from you. Do you have any piglet delivery story? Talk to me in the comments of the video or send me an email at theciaellis@gmail.com, theciaellis@gmail.com, and let me know what your piglet story is. Do you have a sad one? Do you have a victorious one? Have you had piglets that have lived and run around and been just as cute as they can be? I'd love to hear your piglet story. So that's my question of the day. And maybe you guys have a story that you can tell me that would brighten my day a little bit. So my story of the day, and I really was struggling with coming up with a story of the day because, I mean, which is really stupid because when I decided to do this podcast, it was going to be based on grandma's stories, you know, but sometimes I draw like, I've got a lot of stories. I just can't always think of them. I'd come in from doing chores and you know, I'm still trying to work. I haven't worked on the bathroom in a couple of weeks, my master bathroom. So I had just propped the front door open. So I don't even know how this happened, but I propped the front door open, went into the bathroom, in Kinsey's bathroom. I'm hearing thump, 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 thump in the tub. And I look, and the cat had caught a small rabbit and took it into her bathtub and apparently killed it in there too. But I mean, it was dead, but it was playing with this dead rabbit in the tub. And I actually hadn't even done chores yet because I was getting ready to. And about the time I was walking back through the living room again, I hear Kinsey and Cadence coming in from school, and I'm thinking, oh, crap. Because over the weekend, I guess, Kinsey went to go spend the weekend with Cadence at Cadence's mother's house. I'm in Tennessee, and Tom is home here all weekend by himself so he could take care of the animals and stuff. But when I came back on Sunday, I'm going, is this blood in her tub? And Tom's going, yeah, I think the cat killed a mouse in the tub. Well, he never cleaned anything up. So when Kinsey comes home last night, she was not happy. We don't ever say anything to Tom because it wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't do any good too, but she tells me. So I knew Kinsey wasn't going to be happy about it, but I stopped him at the door. I said, girls, you're going to hear some thumping in the bathroom. I said, and I'm really sorry, but the cat has caught a rabbit and it's in your tub. And Kinsey's going, oh, Grandma, I just cleaned up the tub from last night. When she goes, and Grandpa didn't even clean it up all weekend, so I'm cleaning up dry blood in my tub. I'm going, I know, I'm sorry. So, I got rid of the rabbit. It was dead, but I got rid of the rabbit, and so Kinsey could have her bathroom back. But that's my story of the day. It's not much of one, but here's a little bit of a story. My income producing activity today, I haven't talked to you about this in a while, but the Fold card, this is that prepaid debit card. And I was talking to, and the reason I'm bringing this back up again, I was talking to somebody at the Self-Reliance Festival, and we were talking about cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, stuff like that. And he's going, oh, I don't know. I don't think I want to invest in that. And I said, okay, well, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. But if you get the Fold card, you are not technically buying any cryptocurrency. You are, you know, Bitcoin. I said, it's a prepaid debit card. You buy what you want to buy with it. You know, go to the store, buy things, and use this debit card. And you will earn, it's kind of like a cash back thing, except that it's done with cryptocurrency or done with Bitcoin. And So I could tell that he was considering it at that point because he was not actually investing any actual cash into it. He was investing cash into a prepaid debit card. So that's what I'm telling you today. There are things that you can go on Amazon and you can use your Fold card to buy a gift card. And I think I don't know if it doubles how much of Bitcoin you can get back, but there are ways that you can, stack your Satoshis. So it's in the link below. I'm not describing it well. I guess I'm just struggling still with the pig thing. So I apparently might get my act together on this, but look into, go into the link below and check into the Fold card. Like I said, it's just a prepaid debit card. You fund it, you buy your stuff with it, and you earn cryptocurrency with it. You earn Bitcoin. I'm sorry, guys. All right. That's all I've got today. We've got Grandma's Homestead.farm up and going. Right now, it's just mainly my blog stuff. I do have some recipes, and I'm going to do some rearranging and do some stuff with it. But, yeah, check out Grandma's Homestead.farm and maybe keep up with me there. I'm going to try to get it working where I'm going to get email addresses and stuff. I know we got set up where we can do email addresses. I just don't know how to do it. And maybe I can directly send you my blog post every week through the email. But check out that out. I'm also, my main channel is Grandma's Homestead YouTube channel. I have a Farm Animal Life YouTube channel. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, MeWe, Twitter, etc., on some version of Thesia V or Thesia Dayhoff or Thesia, not Dayhoff, Thesia Ellis, some version of Thesia Ellis. All right. So I've tortured us enough tonight with my scattered stuff. I'll do better. I promise. I'll get there eventually. It's been a lot. It was a lot for me to try to deal with, and apparently I'm still struggling with it. So, God bless. I'll see you guys next time, and live. Live until you die. I'm hoping you don't have to deal with dead piglets, but something anyway. Be happy and do something to make yourselves happy. God bless. Good night.